And our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together, were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy she did not open the gate, but ran in and told that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are mad." But she insisted that it was so. She said, "If it is his angel..." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell this to James and to the brethren." Then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no small stir among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and could not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and remained there. May God bless the reading and receiving of his word.
Thanks, Chris. Francis, thank you for the beautiful offertory choir. Thank you for the beautiful message and song. And Danny would be very pleased. Here we are gathered today on Mother's Day, a day of great joy for some, a day of sadness for others, but a day on which we honor those who gave us birth. And while predominantly we honor those who gave us birth physically, we also, I think, should, in our hearts, in our minds, and with our words and actions, honor those who helped to birth us spiritually as well. Sometimes Mother's Day carries fond memories, and for some, not so fond memories. But that's part of the reality of the human condition, unfortunately, that there are good and bad memories. But I hope that today we will see perhaps something and a reflection of some good news that we have found, not only from perhaps our mother who gave us physical birth, but maybe not only from her, but others. Good memories and good understandings of the influence that we received emotionally and spiritually from those. Typically on Mother's Day and Father's Day, you can look to particular passages of Scripture that folks will use and use over and over again. A very favorite one of a lot of folks on Mother's Day is the passage from Proverbs 31. Sometimes other areas, if you have noticed the last few years, I particularly like to look for passages where things are not so overt, but might even seem somewhat obscure. A few years ago, we looked at Deborah in the Old Testament, who arose as a mother over Israel in a time of great war and destruction. We have looked at others, and today perhaps you might have wondered why in the world this passage was selected, because generally when this passage from Acts 12 is read, we talk about Peter's escape from prison and how they thought they were seeing a ghost, but how joyous they were about God providing for Peter's release. And while that is a part of the story, I want us to look at the influence of a woman named Mary. A woman whose husband we're not told about, though we are told about her son. A woman who very possibly may have been a single parent by this point in time. But then again, Mary, the mother of Jesus, spent a while as a single parent, did she not? And had a great deal of influence on her son. So, here we have two women in this story who helped to share good news about God in Christ. One of those is Mary, the mother of John Mark, who, according to tradition, was the scribe of Simon Peter, the chief of the apostles, and who helped at least pen portions of the gospel according to Mark. The other is Rhoda. And we don't know if Rhoda was married or not. She's a servant. We don't know if Rhoda had children or not. But we find that both of these women have something to do with our story today. And both of them have a strong influence on what takes place. First and foremost, Mary, the mother of John Mark. Mary, the one in whose house, according to tradition, the Last Supper took place. Now, she's not mentioned there, but we are told about John Mark. And tradition says that that Last Supper took place in Mark's house. If that's the case, then here we have John Mark's mother, Mary, who not only opened her house to Jesus and the disciples for that Last Supper, which we will come and commemorate in a short time. But according to the text today, she not only opened her house then, but a church had been established within her house. And people came and gathered for study and for worship in her house church. Her son, whether he was indeed the author of the gospel according to Mark or not, had been influenced by her. Her son, John Mark, had gone on missionary journey with Paul. At least part of one, and then he left early and Paul got angry. But Barnabas saw more in John Mark than Paul did, and Barnabas took John Mark under his wing, and Barnabas went out with Mark on various journeys, and eventually Paul even welcomed Mark back into the fold. Now, yes, Paul and Barnabas had a lot of influence, I think Barnabas more than Paul, of those two men, on Mark. But where did that influence really begin? Where was that foundation on which Barnabas and Paul could build? That foundation came from Mary. A rather obscure person in history from our point of view, but certainly not obscure to her son, or to Jesus and the disciples if they ate in that house, or to the people who came and gathered in a time where Christians were being persecuted. They came and they gathered in her home to study the Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures, to talk about Jesus, to share the good news with each other, and then from there further out. This is the only time this woman is mentioned by name in the New Testament. But she had influence. Influence on her son and influence on others as a spiritual mother. One who had given her home, but before that had given her heart to God in Christ, and what she had heard and what she had seen and what she had learned that changed her life. But she didn't just keep it to herself. She shared that with her child, who at the time of Jesus' ministry would have been at least an older child, if not in his teens. In fact, by this point in time, was probably considered an adult, which is older than 12, but may have been even older than that. But this woman was so committed to following Christ that she allowed, well, let me change that. She welcomed a church in her home. She welcomed the opportunity to share that good news that she had heard and seen and had accepted in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. She who exposed her son to that study and worship. She who was not afraid in a time of persecution to do this for the one who had become her Lord and her Savior. And you want to know how important that is? When the text says, when Peter realized this, now what did he realize? When he realized that he was free from prison, he's gotten out of jail. An angel came, he got out of jail. When he understood he was really free, he thought, okay, where can I go now? And where did he go? He didn't hesitate. He knew where he could go. He went straight to Mary's house, where he knew that people had gathered to pray and to worship and prepare for living Christian lives. And a place where he felt safe. Why? Because he already knew of that church and of that influence that he would find there. You know, God gives guidance and protection to various persons if we pay attention to it. And Mary was one whose commitment to God in Christ was strong. And that strength and that commitment extended to her servant, Rhoda. Rhoda, who at first was scared, and everybody thought when Rhoda came back from the door, she said, I've seen Peter. And they said, no, he's in jail. Maybe you saw his angel, or you saw his ghost, his spirit. And Rhoda says, no. She was emotional and afraid, but she knew that God could do something miraculous and had done so. Why? In part, I think, because she was connected with Mary, who was connected with Christ and who opened her home and her heart and who took a chance. Think about the chance she was taking as some of the folks around who were against the church had found out what was going on. But she took the chance because of the life that she had found in Christ and because of the opportunity and the commitment she had within herself to share that with her servant, with her son, with anyone who would come. And even though Rhoda had not opened the door the first time, she does open the door the second time. How often have we not open the door in our lives fully? Especially some of us guys. You know, come along, we were taught to be tough and all this kind of stuff. And how many women have done just that, though? Opened the door to their lives fully, as Mary did and as Rhoda eventually did. Opened their lives fully and committed themselves seriously to being followers and teachers of God's gospel in Christ. Mary was one. Her house was open, even for hours in the middle of the night, for several days in a row, because if you read the whole story, these people had been gathered there for days praying for Simon Peter. And guess when it was? What time of the day it was when Peter was released? The middle of the night. And where does he go? To a place where Mary has influenced these people to come, to pray, and to share. So what does that mean for us today? Well, I hope that Mary's story is obvious. I can tell you there are others too, but I can tell you for certain that Baptist churches would not be what they are if it were not for the women and their commitment to God and God's mission. One for WMU and others, there'd be a lot of folks who wouldn't be preaching today. Of course, some of them I know that might not be such a bad idea, but there'd be a lot of us that wouldn't be doing this. How many in here can remember a Sunday school teacher, or a GA leader, or another teacher, a woman like Mary who was committed and had a great influence in your life. Maybe not. Maybe they weren't preaching when you came down front. Like when Charles Stanley made his commitment, there was a woman preaching. But how many in here can remember the influence and would admit to the influence that a woman like Mary, who seemed to be kind of in the background, still had over you and maybe was part of your spiritual birth process? Anybody else willing to put your hand up? A lot of them. We need to thank God for all the Marys and the Rhodas and the others who are out there, who have been not only mothers to their own children, but many who have been mothers to other people's children, who have had that influence that in some instances were even greater than the birth mothers. They reached out to those who were in need of that Christian influence at times when sometimes they wouldn't go to their own mom or dad, but they'd come to you. And they'd share with you. Why? Because of that connection that you had and have with Christ and with them. Today, we honor all who have been like Mary, mothers of the church, mothers who have influenced our faith, who influence our loyalty, who influence our growth, who give us freely of themselves, even at the risk of our rejecting them, but who love us, who teach us, who lift us up, even in prayer when we don't know, like Mary, the mother of John Mark, who shared all that she had and all that she could be so that others could come to know God in Christ. And we thank you all for that influence. And may it grow. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful. Grateful to you for your love, but grateful that you share it in so many ways through so many women in our lives who have helped us, who have lifted us up, who have been mothers to us when we were in need, and who themselves had received that same influence and that same calling. We ask for your blessings upon each one, those who are present with us, those who have passed in the past. May we truly live the influence that you gave them to give to us for the good of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn prior to our celebration of the Lord's Supper is hymn number 617, Near to the Heart of God. As we share, our altar is open for any who would make a decision of any kind, whether that is a first-time public profession of faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, whether it is to become part of this fellowship, whether it is to commit ourselves again to living that influence of God in Christ that has been shared with us by so many. Hymn number 617, Near to the Heart of God.